Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as always, I pray, and I know that you will take my humble, feeble words and somehow through them shine the truth of your word. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I grew up with absolutely no doubts, just absolute certainty about my faith. My Bible from my teenage years is well worn. It was a paraphrased version called The Way. Anyone else grow up with that Bible? Very common in more conservative circles, for sure. That Bible is underlined, highlighted, pored over, prayed over. I could quote every passage needed to defend my faith in those days. My faith was pretty simple. Everything was either black or white. Probably no coincidence that gray has become my favorite color for decorating my home. In those days, you were either in or out. You were saved or condemned. You were right or you were wrong. Women were to have no leadership roles in the church. Divorce was a sin. Gays were to be prayed for. Then it all started to unravel for me when I felt a call as a woman to ministry. And then I landed in the back row of systematic theology class at Emmanuel College, where we were to learn how to put together a more logical and systematic faith. I saw no need to do that, to explain my faith. After all, I knew what truth was. And so I struggled. I struggled big time, trying to get the hang of why on earth we had to dissect what we believed to come up with an organized set of beliefs. And so, let me confess, in that first year, I did not excel in my studies. Well, actually, truth be told, I also fell in love in the back row of systematic theology class. So I was less than focused on what the prof was saying anyway. That year was unnerving. It was unsettling. And it was the best thing that could ever have happened to me. Because faith really isn't true for any of us until we dump that puzzle out of the box and then try to put it back together again, piece by piece. Discovering that some pieces fit together really well, while others just don't seem to fit at all. And it's not until you try to put the puzzle together yourself that you really experience the time and the attention it takes to try to make all of those pieces fit. And we know what it's like with puzzles. Sometimes you find there are pieces missing from that box that you think contain the whole picture. The reading of Doubting Thomas is the traditional reading in the lectionary for this Sunday after Easter. And while over the years I have had some people tell me they never attend church on this particular week because they're tired of hearing the story, I think it's an essential story to our faith tradition. Because if you jump from Palm Sunday to Easter morning, and then to life going on as usual, you leave behind in the dust of doubt those of us who need to think twice, those who just aren't sure about everything, and especially, God forbid, we leave behind those who feel because of their doubts and questions and fears, they don't belong. And so rather than doubt simply being a stepping stone toward absolute faith, I would like to suggest that the two must live forever in constant tension with one another throughout our faith journey. Because with each new phase of our life experience should come new questions, new doubts, new fears, and eventually, hopefully, renewed faith. Because each new experience brings us a bit closer to that tender balance between doubt and faith. That is a sign of mature faith. I want that baby, by the way. You have no idea how envious I am that other people are holding a baby. Jonah, it is so wonderful to have you with us this morning. Well, your parents too, but... Doubt is not the enemy. Thomas was not lesser than the other disciples, less sincere, less willing to follow, less able to invest himself in a life of discipleship. He was just, perhaps, a little more willing to be real, a little more open and honest about his need for reassurance than we sometimes find we can be. And rather than chastising him or ridiculing him, Jesus simply offers to him exactly what it is he needs to move beyond his doubt. Here, Thomas, here's what you need. See, touch, believe. And maybe that's the key we need to take our faith from a stagnant, hand-me-down from generations past to a living, breathing, growing, ever-changing, mature sets of belief. Maybe we just need the willingness to sometimes say, I don't know. I'm not sure. I just can't believe that right now. Because when we open the door for questions and conversation, then we also open the door for growth and new beliefs to take root and flourish. And no, of course, we can't see and touch those wounds today. But if we keep an eye out, we can certainly see the risen Christ alive in the sharing and caring that is here in abundance in this community of faith. Spring packages delivered, caring emails and visits, choral anthems that move something deep within us, amazing sermons during Holy Week and Easter. That, all of those things are the risen Christ saying, see, touch, believe, new life abounds. Let me take you back a few years to when my ministry at Royal York Road began. Imagine my surprise, well, horror, actually, when I found my former systematic theology prof sitting in the pew. I did get better, by the way. By my fourth year, my marks went way up. I tell you, though, I agonized over every word in those sermons, and he rarely missed a week. But what a rich experience it was to be able to converse with him from an entirely different perspective than I had been able to 20 years before. And one of the greatest and most humbling moments of my ministry was presiding at his funeral, where I was entrusted with speaking words of new life, of hope, which after all of those years of unpacking and repacking that puzzle of faith, well, they finally felt more coherent and real. I still have lots of doubts and fears when it comes to my faith. Being retired has allowed me a wonderful newfound freedom to voice them, if only to myself. On Good Friday, a litany Maya used asked the question, "Where are you now, Lord?" And boy, that is so often a question we ask ourselves these days, isn't it, when we look at the horrific things happening in our world. And you know, it's a question that perhaps started with Thomas being willing to be real, to raise those questions that others were afraid to raise. We ask ourselves that question when we look at the wars that rage on, at faith traditions that show no respect for each other. We raise that question when leaders speak vile words of hatred toward other nations. And we raise it when the puzzle pieces of our life somehow don't seem to fit together like they used to. Oh, and the quote, which is the subtitle for my sermon today. Did anybody Google that already? Or did you not care? It says, doubt is an uncomfortable condition, but certainty is a ridiculous one. That came from the 18th century philosopher Voltaire. My independent study in my last year of undergrad was on the religious beliefs of Voltaire, where I worked hard to prove that his cutting critique of Christianity did not mean he had no faith. And you're thinking, what a useless waste of time, right? But you know, that was actually before I even knew it, the beginning of my own recognition that doubt and faith are a delicate balance. And here I am, some 47 years later, using a quote from Voltaire to hold this sermon together. Because in that quote, I find the truth. Absolute certainty is not what faith is all about. So I would say to you, please ask those big questions of your faith. Ask them of each other. Ask them of your ministry team. Ask them of your staff team as a whole, because we're all working on this faith thing together. But listen, don't expect absolute answers from any of us, because after all, we're all wondering and wandering together through this life with the risen Christ offering those words of reassurance just often enough to keep us moving forward. See, touch, believe. Know even when you aren't sure what else you know. Know even right in the midst of all of your doubts and fears. Just know, he says, that I'm the one in whom you ultimately believe. I'm the one who faithfully holds all of your wonderings and wanderings together as you hold in delicate balance your doubt and your faith. Thanks be to the risen Christ.
Amen. Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.